Hello, and welcome to the Roman on League podcast. I'm your host, former NFL scout Tyler Roman. Week one of Washington football team training camp is here. Day one is in the books, and I'm going to take you through the observations from the action. Also, we'll look at the recent contract extensions for Jonathan Allen and Logan Thomas, and what to look for the rest of this week at Washington football team's training camp. Football is back, so let's get started. First, we'll talk about the Jonathan Allen and Logan Thomas contract extensions. You know, Jonathan Allen with 4 years, $72 million, 30 guaranteed, I think is a great deal for the team. He's not in that top echelon of money. That'd be, of course, the Aaron Donald types. He got less even than Leonard Williams, who got paid earlier this offseason by the Giants. I think it's a great deal for him and the team. He's a core character guy that the team wants to have and build around. He wants to be here. He's a local guy. He went to Stonebridge High School in Ashburn, Virginia, so he's very close to the facility. It's you could walk there from that high school to the training camp facility, Washington practice facility, so it's great to have. Keep a hometown kid, and really it's great to have this team finally reward and keep develop their first-round picks. It's been a while since they've re-signed a first-round pick to a long-term deal, and this is hopefully a precedent to go forward to keep that trend going in the right direction. Starting with Jonathan Allen, and it can go next year into Deron Payne, and then the following year you have Montez Sweat they can lock up. So, I think it's a great precedent for this team going forward that they're going to pay their guys that have a tie in the winning on the field and off the field. So I'm really happy with the Jonathan Allen extension. Talking about the Jonathan Allen extension, you're going to have to consider paying those other defensive line guys. What does that mean for Deron Payne, who has 2 years left on his deal next year with his last year of his rookie deal and the following year as a fifth-year option? So are they still worried about keeping him up? I read in a John Keim article that they do want to extend Deron Payne, which I think is the right move. I think Deron is on the ascent and is only going to become a better defensive player. He's a great against the run. His pass rushing ability isn't quite there yet, but if he expands on that, he gives you 5 to 6 sacks a year, which I think is in his wheelhouse. I mean, he's a top five defensive tackle going against the way he, such a terror in the run game. So I think Deron's a guy they definitely have to consider extending when possible. The salary cap is going up these next coming years, so they have that going for them. They also have Matt Ioannidis, who I think is under contract for the 2 years. Tim Settle's a free agent after this year. He's a guy I'm really high on. He could be a starter, 2/3 of the teams in this league, so I think he might gonna have another good year, but that's a guy they might have to let walk just because if they want to keep Deron Payne, and like I said, Ioannidis is already under contract. So, but that's a guy that, unfortunately might be a casualty. Then, of course, you have the studs in the ends with Chase Young and Montez Sweat, and obviously a little too early to talk about those guys' contracts, but Montez is eligible for it after next year, so that's something they could talk about. Deron is eligible for it now, but again, I haven't heard anything in that ballpark. It seems like obviously they were worried about Jonathan Allen at this point for that front four, and he was the most timely because he is a free agent after this year, so it was really good to get him done before his contract year, and something to him or the team doesn't have to worry about. Moving on to Logan Thomas's contract extension, I love it. 3 year, $24 million, $10 million guaranteed. It's a great deal for Logan. Has a guy that basically signed a little over the league minimum for the last 2 years for Washington, coming off his years with the Lions. Just shows the work that he put in. I remember watching him as a Virginia Tech quarterback, and he had a really bright future there his first year and then struggled the rest of his years, and that's why he slipped to the fourth round at Arizona and eventually switching over to tight end in the NFL. But, Logan's a guy that just shows, all the work to put in, and it's great to reward a guy like that. It shows a precedent to the rest of the team is that, if you put in the work, the time, this Washington franchise is going to finally reward guys, and they haven't done that in the past. So, Logan, I think, was an absolute steal, in free agency last year, and is a great contract for the team going forward. He's not, again, like the Jonathan Allen, he's at the top tight end money, but closer to the middle of the pack. And again, it's an absolute steal just for him, considering he was getting paid so little and with basically a quarterback a couple years in no direction. And, 3 or 4 years later, now he's getting $8 million a year as a tight end. So that's a great, win for him. Great win for this organization. Love the deal. He's going to have another good year this year. His numbers might go down just because the upgrading weapons for this team, so it might take some of his targets away, but Logan's going to be a quality player again for this Washington football team. Honestly, the sheriff extension is not coming. That was done on July 15th. They can't extend with him anymore, talk to him anymore about an extension. More than likely, he's done after this year. That goes back to my previous comment about not locking up first round picks, and I don't put that all on this regime, that could have been done, you know, 2 years ago, you know, under the old regime. So it, you know, I guess let it play out and have Sadiq Charles or a guy like him take over for sheriff after next year. But and I know Rivera likes sheriff, and I don't think it's anything personal. I think just money wise, and who knows, maybe there's still an opportunity after next year to be done, after this year is done, to talk about a contract. But looks like he'll be gone. But then again, these contracts set a precedent for this team to reward their guys. That's why I think Deron Payne's, you know, gonna get one here sooner or later. I think Terry McLaurin is, I expect to have another great year. I think he's definitely going to be one of the main points of on the docket or agenda next year to get a contract done. He's eligible after next year, going into his last year of his rookie deal. So I think Terry's going to be a guy that's going to get extended pretty quickly next offseason, just because they love the guy. He's absolute role model off the field and is one of the top 10, 15 wide receivers in the NFL on the field. So he's a guy to consider getting an extension going forward. But as far as this offseason, I think they're pretty much done. Unless, you know, maybe a guy like J.D. McKissic comes up, I think he's the guy they should consider extending and try to give him a little bump in salary as well, because he's an important part of this offense as well. So I think he could be one guy that maybe they work on as the summer goes on. Next, talking about Curtis Samuel on the PUP list. A little concerning. I know they said it's not a concern, but it is a little concerning now that he had that groin injury in minicamp, and you know, 6 weeks go by and he can't, you know, contribute from day one at training camp. Again, it's no reason to rush him with the regular season, you know, still so far away. But, you know, it's something. You know, it's something that this team has to, you know, have some, you know, backup options just in case. Again, I think he should be ready for week one. I'm not trying to sound the alarm, but I'm just saying it's something that this team, you know, it's something's wrong with that groin that he had to miss the last 6 weeks, and it still hasn't healed, you know, since that mini camp, you know, injury or whatever. But also, it was nice to see Landon Collins on PUP list. It means that how well he's recovered from his Achilles injury shows all the work that he put in time and rehab. So it's great to see him back on the field. I think he's going to have a nice bounce back year for this team. Still a young guy at 27, you know, former All-Pro on the defense and for the Giants, you know, a few years back. So I think he can get back to that and, you know, maybe even play a little more closer to the line and the linebacker position as well. Now, he said he didn't want to do that, but I think he kind of cooled on that mini camp, saying he would do whatever to help the team win. So even if it's not a classic linebacker role, I think Landon, you know, is going to, you know, play a little closer to the line of scrimmage this year. We'll talk a little bit about Ron Rivera's vaccination comments. You know, him basically saying that he's frustrated with the lack of, you know, vaccinations for this team. And I think it's valid. You know, it's unfortunate, and he's coming from a place that obviously he's had, you know, personal, you know, issues last year with the cancer and stuff, and then so I think he has no problem with it. I'm glad that he hasn't really got, you know, backlash for it. The only backlash I saw was, you know, former safety TJ Ward, the NFL, made some ludicrous comments basically saying that he basically brought on the cancer by his life decisions, and you know, that's he was giving Ron Rivera, you know, crap for basically telling the team to get vaccinated, but then TJ Ward was saying, you know, you can't tell someone to do something because of your decisions. So I thought it was totally off base. TJ Ward has gotten some flack for it, as he should, because it was asinine to basically say that he brought on the cancer himself, so he can't tell what other people do with their bodies when he's not taking care of his own body, which, again, just completely ridiculous comments, and surprised it hasn't got more coverage on, you know, national headlines, because it was absolutely demeaning what he was saying about Ron, and just, you know, totally out of left field. But again, hopefully this team gets vaccinated. They're only 50-60%. I like Terry McLaurin's comments about it today, basically saying, you know, hopefully everyone makes a decision with the team in mind. He got vaccinated, and he's definitely shows, you know, his leadership, you know, every time he, you know, comes and talks to the media, and even, you know, which he says he does on the field as well. So, you know, hopefully this team gets that rectified, because you don't want them costing games for, you know, come September for not being vaccinated or having to miss games, reschedule games, or, you know, what so. Also, it was kind of interesting that Ron Rivera said that Benjamin St. Juice is the next Charles Tillman. That's extremely high praise. Charles Simmons, one of the best cornerbacks of the last, you know, during his, you know, generation of playing. He's the peanut punch. He was probably one of the best cornerbacks ever punching the ball out for fumbles, forced fumbles. So if St. Juice is anything near that, that's would be an absolute steal in the third round for the Washington football team. You know, Ron was around Charles Tillman a little bit when he was with the Bears. So, you know, he knows it up close and personal. And again, I think that just shows how much high hopes that Ron, and I'm sure this whole defensive staff, has in Benjamin St. Juice. I don't think it's going to be there from day one, but it's, you know, great to see that they have so much, you know, lofty expectations for him. you're going a little back to the Curtis Samuel on the pup list. You got wide receivers. And this time, you know, with the wide receiver room, at least the back side of the room, so crowded, this is where they have to step up and make a name for themselves. In his absence, they're going to get more reps. You got Steven Sims is going to get more reps in the slot. Calvin Harmon is going to get more reps. Obviously, Antonio Gagne-Golden, Isaiah Wright. So this is the time for those guys to shine and make a difference going forward, because, you know, I don't know how long Curtis is going to be out. Those guys are fighting for those last spot or two. It seems like five already accounted for with Terry, Curtis Samuel, Cam Sims, Zayami Brown. And it looks like Adam Humphries, as long as he is healthy. So then you have one or two spots for Antonio Gagne-Golden, Calvin Harmon, Steven Sims Jr., Isaiah Wright, Dax Milne. So I think it's the guy. This is really the time for them to step up. I heard Antonio Gagne-Golden had a little trouble off the line, which is nothing new from days of Liberty. But he's a big physical guy. He's got to get past that. You know, I think he definitely still has a lot of potential. I like Antonio Gagne-Golden. Hopefully he gets going. And then Calvin Harmon, you know, obviously had a really nice 2019. And, you know, he's definitely a good run blocker at the very least. And if that's something the team values, he can make the team almost just for that alone. And obviously he can hold his own as a receiver as well. But that's always, you know, a good avenue to have as a wide receiver, especially when you need to make the team. Ryan Fitzpatrick took all first team reps. Yeah, I think it kind of shows where they think of this competition. Again, I don't think it's an actual quarterback competition. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick's job. That's why they gave him that $10 million deal, and he's a guy that's going to continue to be getting those reps. I mean, we'll see how it goes the rest of the week, but I think Fitz is the guy. It seems like the team really likes him and rallies around him. Obviously, even, you know, seeing over the past couple of years in Tampa Bay and Miami, his, you know, boisterous personality, I'm sure he's a guy that makes fun and has, you know, good time in the locker room. So I'm sure the guys gravitate towards that, and I think Fitz is going to do well and continue to, you know, build a rapport with his receivers and running backs going forward. The defense end, you have Jamin Davis. Apparently, he got all of his reps at Mike Linebacker again, like he did in minicamp, and is continuing to do well. Ron pointed him out in his post-practice presser. Again, try to say that fast 10 times. Again, pointed Jamin Davis out. But I think it's great. I think Jamin can play all three positions. I love his speed. I've talked about it, you know, plenty of times in this podcast. But I think it really shows. I think John Bostic's not a lock for this team. I think if John Bostic is not playing Mike, he's not really too much a value to you. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a lock to make this team. You have Jamin Davis and Cole Holcomb as the main linebackers, and that opened up more avenues for Landon Collins to pick up the line of scrimmage, or a Cam Crow, whatever the way they want to do it. So I think they're really trying to maybe instill Jamin Davis to be that middle linebacker from day one, and that's obviously brings even more value to that pick 19th overall this past April. So, you know, it'd be great to see him there. I'm sure he's going to excel. I love the way he runs sideline to sideline. I think his run fits can get better, but behind this great front four, they're going to, you know, keep blockers off him, so I'm not really worried about that in that part of his game. Defense dominated again the action. That's usually how it goes, especially in the opening, you know, part of training camps all around the league. But I think it's not uncommon here, obviously, with this being one of the better defenses in the NFL and potentially be a top five defense this year. Obviously, if a new quarterback, they're going to take some time to gel. So obviously, I don't think anyone should be worried about the offense being struggling. Again, this defense is loaded, and that's what everyone should be excited about as a fan base. And obviously, the offense is going to take a little time to gel with a new quarterback, new receivers. You know, even some new offensive linemen, obviously a left tackle and right tackle. So it's going to be an adjustment, but it's already a great to see the defense, you know, in full form already. The safety rotations, I heard were Cam Curl and Landon Collins, and a little bit of Landon Collins and Bobby McCain. So I think, you know, really shows you probably Landon is that starting safety, and as he should. You know, I think his career speaks for it. That contract speaks for it. So I think he's going to get his run. I think Cam Curl obviously is one of the best defensive backs on this team and one of the rising defensive backs in this league. So I think, you know, people shouldn't be worried about him either. He's going to get his run as well. So I think they're going to make it work. I think that's also what goes back to Jamin Davis playing the mic. They'll probably play with more two linebackers and then have, you know, Cam or Landon play closer to the line in almost the hybrid linebacker role. So I think Bob McCain's going to get his run too with the free safety position. He's one of the true free safeties on this roster. The way he can play the middle of the field. He also can play the slot, you know, as a slot corner situation. So I like the way they're rotating the safeties, and think it's going to be something that's going to solve itself during camp and preseason. And we'll figure out, you know, who those back end guys are going to be, you know, come week one against the Los Angeles Chargers. Well, with that, that will conclude this Roaming Around League episode. Training camp is here, and an exciting part of the summer is finally here. It's time for the team to get better and defend the Vision Crown. This is where the work starts. You know, in the coming weeks, I'll be talking more training camp, you know, preseason games, and even some fantasy football sprinkled in. You can follow me on Twitter @NFLScout21. and Instagram at RomanOnTheLeague_pod. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe. This is your host, Tyler Roman, signing off. See you next time.